On this week's episode of Third and Forever, Kevin and I are back in studio, and the NFL draft is officially behind us. We're going to go through each of our team's picks, our general thoughts and feelings about what we walked away from those 3 days of the NFL draft. We're going to speculate what Dustin might think about the Bears with their, especially their first day haul.
I know exactly what he thinks. He told me word for word. I'm going to share it. Okay. I'm not making it up at all.
Perfect. All right. And then, yeah, we're just going to kind of go into what the rest of the offseason is going to look like as we ramp up towards the future of the training camps, the preseason. It's only a couple of months away. I'm sure there's going to be a couple contract extensions coming up down the pipeline here. And just the general state of how we're feeling about our teams. And that's it. All right, let's go.
This week's episode of Third Forever is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. I want to tell you about the easiest way to get some action on sports. It's Underdog Fantasy and their Pick'em game. Just pick higher or lower on your favorite or least favorite player stats, and you can win up to 20 times your money in a single night. Underdog keeps it super simple with their easy-to-use website and mobile apps. Pick between 2 to 5 players to fill out your Pick'em entry, get every pick right, and take home some cold hard cash. Use the code 10K to get your first deposit doubled up to $100 by Underdog. Once again, that's code 10K on the Underdog app or go to www.underdogfantasy.com.
Welcome to this week's episode of Third and Forever, presented by 10,000 Takes. I'm your host, Adam Oz, joined always by my co-host, Kevin Olm, and not producer, Dustin Lucco. He's still MIA. Kevin, we're back in studio. It's back-to-back weeks, so this is the first time we've done this offseason, but the draft just happened.
Yeah, you caught me off guard with the text yesterday about, oh, so normal time tomorrow? And I was like, I guess
it would be silly to talk about the draft. A week, over a week and a half after it happened, so it's like, it's still fresh, it's still in our mind. Well, and
this is like the last thing, so to speak, that's like a real thing. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be news and there's going to be training camps and yada yada yada, but like this is the last event. And now we're kind of just we're entering the dog days.
So we're now, we've kind of finally got through the draft season, which was at an absolute grind, especially if you're a team needing a quarterback that was not first overall, because it was smokescreen season like crazy. We got to Thursday. We watched the draft together, and you know, we posted live reactions and all that kind of stuff. So you knew we were all together. But the Minnesota Vikings do walk away with a potential new franchise quarterback, first time ever taking a quarterback in the top 10.
Yeah, and I think that we should probably just kind of dive in. We'll go Vikings, then Packers. I mean, you know, we've been talking about it for a while, but this draft meant a lot more to you guys. Maybe we'll go Vikings, Packers, and then we will wrap up with the Bears.
Yeah.
Because we don't have a Bears fan here. And then we'll throw in
some other surprise. There were some surprises. Night one was, for the most part, kind of like nothing too crazy happened.
Minus a
couple of things here, which, by the way, the Atlanta one, that they really gave everyone else a big favor because no one else was talking about anyone else, Denver Broncos. But so they really should thank Atlanta for this, but we're going to get to them. We'll kind of wrap the show with that. So the Minnesota Vikings, leading up to it, you know, there was a lot of smoke about wanting to trade up. And it did get confirmed after the fact. The Vikings did submit an offer to New England about a trade. But and then the offer, what everyone was thinking it was going to be, was 11, 23, and next year's first.
Yeah.
For number 3. And New England eventually said nope, and they're deciding we're going to stand pat and go with our quarterback. And it actually came out that their, you know, so-called GM, he's not his official title as GM. They don't really do that in New England. Elliot Wolf was open to that, but it was actually the Krafts, especially Robert Kraft, that said, nope, we're just take Drake May.
Which leads me to believe that it was the wrong decision.
Yeah.
Because I don't...
Whenever an owner gets in there, you're like, oh, wait, hang on.
I don't trust Mr. Kraft to know 100% what's up. I feel like he fell ass backwards into Tom Brady.
Yep.
And has had just
insane amounts of success off of that, and now he's going, well, wait, I want another one.
Yeah.
Like the last guy didn't work, the DUI kid that was crying, like he didn't work. So we need a new one.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, who beats us all the time? Josh Allen.
Well, and the fact that Drake May is going to be number 10.
Who's Drake May compared to? I heard like some Josh Allen stuff.
Yeah, I do think there is some credence to more Josh Allen than Justin Herbert. I think just the way he kind of runs and how he plays a little like backyard football, like,
yeah,
where you just like, fuck it, I'm just more athletic and bigger than you, I'm just gonna go.
But this is an owner decision, because they want asses in seats, you know, they want like hype around the team and excitement. If Jacoby Brissett is your starting quarterback next year on a team that already isn't very good, you're not gonna have very much excitement.
I will give them credit because they had 9 selections. They spent, I think, 8 of them on offense, including like Drake May. So it's like the plan was draft Drake May and get as much help or talent or dudes to help him directly.
They looked at their like Madden offense defense rating, and it was like, very skewed.
Because then they gave the bag to Christian Barmore, their defensive tackle. I think they gave him like $96 million. It was the biggest contract they've given to a non-Tom Brady player for them in like franchise
history. A non-Tom Brady.
So
most of their players are non-Tom Brady's.
Yeah. So it was revealed that the Vikings did put an offer in. The Giants did try to move up as well. And the Patriots eventually just said, nope, we're just going to stick with it. And like,
it's got to be funny to like be Daniel Jones and like your team is aggressively trying to get someone else and they couldn't. And you're just like, hey guys,
did you hear what Malik Nabers is like introductory press conference?
No.
Instantly they said, oh, have you talked to Daniel Jones or anything? He's like, oh yeah, like I've talked to Daniel Jones. Like he said Daniel Jones. He didn't even say his name right. It's like, oh boy. Oh boy.
Yeah. I think that everyone kind of knows that there's something wrong there.
Yeah. But so the Vikings weren't able to move up to 3 as we saw reported and whatnot. But I think it ends up working out just the way the rest of the first round wrapped up here, because it's mainly to do with our second pick that we got. So let's start with here. We drafted. We moved up from 11 to 10 because the front. Because
you got baited.
Yeah, we got baited by Sean Payton.
He's
playing 40 chess, man.
Destroyed you guys.
Incredible. He helped give assets to another AFC team.
Now,
so an NFC team can get weaker, quote unquote.
I have seen, because you guys traded with the Jets.
Yeah.
Because of the fear of God that Sean Payton put in you, it's right?
The fear of God that the Broncos, who, by the way, really wanted J.J. McCarthy, believe it or not. They did. That's reports have come out.
So
they were big fans of J.J.
So that's nothing but hearsay.
Yeah.
But so you guys traded with the Jets. Mm-hmm. Do you know who else has traded with the Jets twice in the last calendar like week? The Broncos.
Oh.
Something weird going on there, man.
Wow.
There's some sort of like evil partnership between Denver and New York, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll keep the ears to the ground on that one.
Maybe Sean Payton and Aaron Rodgers, your enemies are teaming up, Adam.
Oh, son of a bitch. Still blocked by Sean Payton on Twitter, by the way.
What if like either Sean Payton was the coach of the Jets or Rodgers went to the Broncos and just like they could really just team up to get you?
It would be the Thanos gauntlet just completing like my hatred. Like I'm just like, God, this is just,
who else would be on that team?
It's the worst. Who else would be on that team?
I feel like you don't have a lot of like nemesis.
No, not really. I mean, like, I never liked Clay Matthews. I thought he was dirty.
And he'll
like,
come
he's
back.
Retired.
Yeah.
He'll have to come back and he'll maybe be a staffer or be a linebackers coach. No, I don't know. I mean, there's not a whole lot of guys that just like outright piss me off like you have. Like, I don't have a list.
Okay.
But like Sean Payton's on that. Aaron Rodgers, just because anytime he opens his mouth and I'm like, God, it's worse. Like
it is getting worse.
It's getting worse.
Yeah.
Like, oh, God.
It's not getting better.
No. If they had a podcast together, Jesus Christ.
I don't think anyone should incept Aaron with the idea to get his own podcast. I don't think that would be good for anyone.
Yeah, no. So we did move up to 10 and we took J.J. McCarthy at number 10, which
fifth quarterback off the board?
Yeah, technically he was the fifth.
Mm-hmm.
Technically he was the fifth quarterback off the board.
You guys got the fifth best quarterback in the draft. Congratulations.
Because that's how that works. Do you know who also was number 10? 10th pick? It was a handful of years ago.
No.
Who? Mr. Patrick Mahomes, number 10.
Cool.
Yeah.
So does everyone that gets picked at 10 turn out to be good?
Well, the last one that was pretty good.
Let's go back in time and see.
Last quarterback that was at 10. I think that's what it was, Patrick Mahomes. So
okay,
that's what I'm sticking to. So yeah, we take
is that. Is that really the bar you want to set for JJ?
No, no. But I think that this is one where, you know, JJ McCarthy was absolutely ecstatic that he was drafted by the Vikings. He was not shy in his feelings about where he wanted to get drafted by. I mean, I'm not surprised. I mean, it's a good situation to be in, obviously. But I think it's a great, just from a scheme standpoint, the way he plays the position, obviously. You know, what was my comp I said to him? I think I called him a sprightly Kirk Cousins, like a 1.5 already, like already a 1.5 Kirk Cousins.
Really?
Well, like just the athletic upside that he has over Kirk.
So like it's just his brain. He's a
rhythm. He's a rhythm thrower. He can throw over the middle. He comes from a pro style offense already.
All right, I'm going to read you the 10th overall picks here. I want to read you the last several years, all right?
Well, if they're not quarterback, it's not really relevant.
So we got J.J. McCarthy this year. Last year it was Darnell Wright, who, apart from getting put on the wrong training program by the Bears, seemed like he did okay.
Got to be nimble.
Garrett Wilson.
Okay.
Devontae Smith. Jedrick Wills. Devin Bush. Josh Rosen. Patrick Mahomes.
All right. Well, you know, that's
so
fine.
I mean, those last two are kind of a roller coaster for you. And
Josh Rosen just never got a chance, man. He was just never put in the right situation.
So if you guys had Josh Rosen this year, you'd be cool with that.
Well, back when he was drafted.
Yeah.
Back when he was drafted.
If you had past version
of Josh Rosen. If we had Kevin O'Connell's offense back then, because we were still in the Zimmer regime, so I don't think he would have done well in the Zimmer regime. But
what about Blaine Gabbert, 10th overall pick?
A Super Bowl winner.
Matt Leinart.
Heisman winner.
This is really falling apart for you a little bit.
Patrick Mahomes. That's all I got. Patrick Mahomes.
Mahomes single-handedly brings that average up.
JJ McCarthy gets drafted to the Vikings. Like I said, it's, you know, it's a very, very complimentary scheme fit. He's probably going to go into training camp and preseason as QB2 behind Sam Darnold, but I would not be shocked at all if he won QB1 by the time the season started. Am I saying I want that to happen? Not necessarily.
But by the time it starts, you're saying? Like week one?
He's going to be given every opportunity.
I think Darnold's going to have to crash and burn first.
I just think it's all dependent on how quickly he picks up the offense, how quickly he picks up the scheme and the rapport with the offensive players. I think Kevin O'Connell has said he's, you know, going to be given every chance. And I think...
Yeah, I mean, I think he will be by the end of the season.
Just saying, I would not be surprised if he does it. And if that's the case, you know, he is 21 years old. He just turned 21 in January, which he's the youngest quarterback in the class.
Finally, go to Blarnes.
Yeah, youngest quarterback in the class. And so we have the luxury of we don't have to rush him in. But if he earns it and wins the job, then by all means, let him start.
I think you should let him sit for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
I think that's really the move.
No, I think at most he'd sit for like 8 games, like if he did sit. I just don't see him.
What if Darnold wins a decent number of games?
Well, and that's the thing, though. I honestly, like, if Darnold.
I think that's impossible.
Darnold is probably in a situation like he was never given a shot to start in San Francisco. Like, if he was, he'd probably do a hell of a lot better than he did with the Jets or the Panthers.
Yeah.
Like, I think Darnold will probably be better than he'll probably play his best football he's ever played in the NFL level just because of the system he's in and the players that are around
him. That's why I'm skeptical that. I don't think there's any real shot that McCarthy gets it in training camp because he has to adjust the NFL.
Right,
and that's a
but that's what I'm saying.
Jump.
That's what I'm saying.
Darnold's
if he
been
he
here.
Takes if he takes those, you know, once they start reporting in July and when preseason starts in August, if he wins that out, if he is playing and in practice and in the games, and if he is outperforming Sam Darnold, and Kevin O'Connell says, "All right, like no training wheels, like he's." Being better than Sam Darnold, why are we not just going to start him? Like, I'd be okay with it. I'm not saying I want that to necessarily happen or predicting that will happen. I'm just saying it gives us the luxury now. Like, we don't have to. He's not 24, 25 years old like some of these other guys. You don't have to rush him in. But if he earns it and wins it, cool. That's that. Then we have a guy that's 21 years old starting, which is pretty damn rare in the NFL. You don't really see that. So I think J.J. McCarthy, he's already, you know, he's. As I mentioned before, he is fully in, and he wanted to be drafted by the Vikings. He's all about it, and I think that's great. I mean, was I a massive Drake May fan? Yes, but if you're going to tell me that, would I walk away with Drake May and no next year's first, or keeping next year's first, and then also any other assets that we might now, I guess, needed to add, because that wasn't enough to move up for Drake May, and then getting our second first-round pick, Dallas Turner. Holy shit. Like, that's really hard to say, well, you know, give me May and not have Dallas Turner next year's first and other future assets.
I mean, it all depends on how these guys turn out.
Exactly.
There is a world where, yes, that's a better move for you.
Like, J.J. McCarthy, if he plays, like, say Drake May and J.J. McCarthy play the same amount of games their rookie year, J.J. McCarthy's having a better year, 100%. Just based on the team around him and the system they're in. Like, he has an offensive play caller behind him that's sticking there. He has the skill position players all around. He has all pros at multiple positions. He has
Johnny Munt.
He has a great tackle duo. I just think, like, it's not a situation. I mean, there's a reason why the Patriots were drafting third overall. Like, they have holes, and they try to address it. Like, they drafted a shit ton of offensive players. Maybe they all pan out and they hit right away, and that's great. And the Patriots, you know, fuck around, maybe get a wild card. I'm not saying the Vikings are like, oh, sure, and like, this is it. But I'm like, the situation from day one is significantly more friendly for J.J. McCarthy than it is Drake May. And I would not be shocked if J.J. McCarthy, I think he's already like third odds right now for rookie of the year. Like, just duh. Like, it makes sense.
He should be fifth. He was the fifth quarterback taken.
Kevin, that's not how it works.
That's how it works. That's not how it Teams works. Don't make mistakes.
Yeah. but then that leads to the next point here. Dallas Turner, we moved up from 23 to 17, taking Dallas Turner, who from the consensus big board was the number one defensive prospect on everyone's board. Mm-hmm. And he fell all the way to 17 because we saw a record 14 straight offensive players taken, which is bananas.
Yeah.
Laiatu Latu was the first defensive player at 15, then it was Byron Murphy at 16, and then we jumped up from 23 to 17, swapped with the Jags, gave up, I believe, the second round pick we got from the Texans last year, a fourth, a fifth. We gave up assets.
You guys don't have a lot of those left.
We currently have three picks next year.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't think that's totally fine, because Dallas Turner, all he has to do is, if he is, like, remotely good, then that's worth it. Like, it is, because, like, he's at a premier position.
As someone who's drafted several kind of good guys in the first round.
But, like, Dallas Turner is, like, it's not like he was just some fringe guy. He was the number one defensive player on the big board for many, many people.
Yeah.
And, like, getting him at 17, I will take that every single day of the week. I thought he was going to be gone at 8. Like, I mean, we mocked him at 8.
No one saw what was going to happen at 8.
Yeah. And so, like, I never even thought that was a remote possibility to walk away with Dallas Turner. And guess how old Dallas Turner is? 21. He's also extremely young.
A child.
he's an athletic. The athletic upside is through the roof with him. His RAS score, I think he was like a 9.9. Like, it was...
That's decent.
It was insane. Yeah. Like the one knock I think he had was... it was, like, one that was, like, in the orange or whatever. It might have been height. Yeah, because he's 6'3". Like, I think if he was, like, 6'4", 6'5", then that bumps into the green. I think it was literally just height. But, yeah, ESPN had him as their 8th overall rank, first position rank, obviously. But it was... I'm walking away night one with that. I mean, I saw the reaction. Like, I could not believe that he kept falling because, you know, we didn't see defensive players taken for 14 picks.
Yeah.
And that's where it happens. I'm fine giving up a couple day two, day three picks for him.
Yeah, it was an aggressive night for Kwesi in terms of trading up both times. Only one of those, again, was because Sean Payton fleeced you guys. Third party fleece. It was a detached fleecing.
It would have been an absolute disaster if we said, you know what? Let's just stick at 11, and the Broncos moved up to 10, and they took J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah,
and we just sat there at 11, like.
But they made you. They made you think that they were going to do that.
Yeah, I'm cool. I'm cool swapping like a fifth or whatever.
That's the big brain move. Whatever, right there is now. You guys moved up slightly, and they got Bo Nix.
I think we gave them like a fifth, and we got a sixth in return. Like,
yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Damn.
It was a haul.
Damn. So yeah, I am thrilled with the first two picks. I mean, as I mentioned before,
do you want to touch on like what you draft like two guys after that?
Yeah, we had a good amount. We ended up with a lot of picks. So in the fourth round,
how'd you end up with a lot of picks? You had like none.
We had 2 sixth, 2 seventh, and a fourth.
Oh.
So we had five more picks.
Okay. I don't count sixes and sevens. I don't think that counts. Okay. I had a bunch of those.
Somebody drafted Kyrie Jackson, corner out of Oregon. He had a very interesting career where he is, physically, he's 6'4", 194. He is a massive human for a corner.
Jeez, yeah. He should be a receiver. He just have bricks for hands or what?
He can run with receivers. He is aggressive in the run game, so he's not afraid of tackling. He fits really nicely into a Brian Flores type of a physical press corner that's, you know, tall, long limbs. He had an interesting career where he wasn't sure if like football was going to work out for him, so then he kind of stopped doing that for a while, and he actually worked at like a grocery store and like the deli, got employee of the month. Shout out work ethic.
Yeah, and, no, that's a good sign.
And then he was like channeling, like, you know what, I'm going to give football another shot. Found his way back to football at a high level, played at Oregon, played really well. I think this will be a very, very interesting prospect to see and how he develops in the NFL. I like him a lot. I think the fact that he just, you know, he's got that dog mentality, and Brian Flores, I know, likes these kind of guys. That's why he drafted, wanted to go after like an Andrew Booth, or really wanted Andrew Booth. And I think he had the physicality that he has and the physical upside being 6'4", 194, and he can still run is, you know, it's high upside. And that's what the lot of our other picks
are. I'm 6'4", 194. If you want reference, I can run. So I might be as good as this guy.
I can
run.
Your run's not the same as
I've run before.
Yeah.
Let's do a 40 right now. I'll tear everything.
The remaining picks, a lot of them were a lot of physical upsides. They went after guys that had high ceilings.
You drafted a kicker. What are you talking about? Physical upside?
Not just a kicker. The literally the greatest kicker in college football history. He has the most points ever scored in college football.
Yeah, have fun with an Alabama kicker.
Yeah,
out here.
He's also the highest scoring kicker in college football history, which is great.
No, it's not.
I will gladly take that. He's accurate and consistent on field goals inside 40 yards, which, by the way, what are the PATs? Oh, yeah, that's like 33 yards. We need that. Mm-hmm. If he doesn't work out for the Vikings, if he is bad, then like I'm just... Throw the hands up. It doesn't matter who's kicking the ball. Justin Tucker could come over and he'll instantly suck because that's just, there's something with the shade of purple, I guess. I don't know.
How do you pronounce this guy's last name?
Reichert. Reichert. Yeah. Will Reichert.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those SEC kickers, I'm just telling you now, they don't always pan out super smooth.
We'll see. But so I'm happy about that. And then Levi Drake Rodriguez, he is a guy from Texas A&M Commerce.
Oh my goodness, we're going to pick 232 out here.
Defensive tackle. This is a guy where it's like, who the fuck is this guy? He is an absolute physical freak. Like, he really is. And he is this big, like, Samoan-looking dude. He looks like Roman Reigns, deep cut if you're a WWE fan. He looks like him and Roman Reigns. Well,
you know. Even I know who that is.
Well, if you're not a fan of WWE, then I don't know. I feel like you might not know Roman Reigns.
I know who Roman Reigns
I don't think Paige
is. Everybody knows who
Paige
Roman Reigns is.
Roman Reigns.
Paige
I think
knows.
She just now found out.
She knows.
Paige, I don't think you know. If you do, I apologize. Then I'd be like, why have we not talked about wrestling before? But yeah, Levi Drake Rodriguez, which by the way, Roman Reigns actually was on the Vikings practice squad. Fun fact.
Cool.
Yeah. So
nice.
He defensive tackle, which that's a need, and I think it'll be very interesting to see how he does in training camp and preseason. So that's a name to kind of keep an eye out for. But all in all, I was very happy with the draft and how it all folded out. JJ McCarthy, Dallas Turner, obviously the highlights of this, the flashy picks, but we got some good depth pieces and guys with some high upside. And I don't know. I'm excited. I think it's a very interesting time. JJ McCarthy did confirm he will be wearing number 9. So Tristan Jackson, I guess, gave it up. I don't know
if bust.
It was paid for anything, but
bust.
He will be number
needs
9.
He's a double-digit number. All good quarterbacks have double-digit numbers.
Yeah?
Yeah. Most sure? Most of them.
Most of them.
Rodgers went from double digits down to 1.
Joe Burrow,
tore his ACL.
Joe Boom. Burrow, bum.
Joe Burrow, bum.
Yeah. He's a bum. Stroud, bum. Brett Favre, always bad.
I mean, we've covered Brett Favre on
never
this program.
Good. He's never been good.
Off the field
issues. He's never delivered anything to one of our teams on this podcast.
He almost delivered something to both of our teams.
He has
delivered.
Yeah,
real close.
He has delivered something to one of our teams.
Yes.
And almost did another time.
Yeah.
Like the year after.
Until he remembered who he was.
You bum.
bummed. All right, should we move on to the Packers? So the Packers here, we were at pick number 25, and that's where we picked. And
who was on the board at the time?
Yeah, so we're let me just work my way. I'm like breaking this shoe in, you know. I gotta feel my way in here, even though I've been here a million times. So I am documented on this show as being a fan of Cooper DeJean, being excited about potentially getting him. And we were talking as the pick was closing in here towards the end of the night. And I was like, all right, there's four picks left. There's four guys I like. There's three picks left. There's three guys I like. I was doing the math, and we got down to it. Quinion Mitchell taken right in front of us. The Lions traded in front of us because their entire franchise is just about, like, you know, trying to pull one over on the rest of the division now that they're the Kings. That was kind of, I don't know, I guess they do need a corner. But so we get to pick 25. And Cooper DeJean is still on the board. And
Graham Barton's still on the board.
And Graham Barton, a couple other guys that I really liked. And they get up there, and with the 25th pick in the 2024 draft, the Green Bay Packers select Jordan Morgan. And I didn't like it.
Offensive tackle out of Arizona.
I didn't hate it.
Yep.
He was definitely a guy that I was familiar with in the process. And the way that I've been looking at it, because we've had, you know, a few days now for this to marinate, they didn't want Cooper DeJean. And I did. I'm an idiot.
Who, by the way, fell a little bit.
A lot.
He fell out of the first round.
He almost fell to their second pick. He got picked right in front of where they would have been.
Yeah, the Eagles snatched him up.
Yeah, so, I mean, he fell a decent ways. A lot of teams didn't seem super interested in Cooper DeJean. And maybe there's something to that, because, like I said, I'm going off of, like, hype. You know, I don't really have super informed takes about all this stuff. I just thought he was exciting. And if Goot saw something with Jordan Morgan, he saw something over the other offensive line prospects. I mean, I'm not shocked that it was a tackle. You know, that was definitely on the board looking at stuff. And if this is the guy they think is the best one, then fuck it.
There are reports that they're thinking that he's going to move to the inside.
Yeah, and if that's what they want to do, I mean, I think that is something that Goot likes in his offensive linemen, and kind of a... you know, we've had Yash Nijman move to a couple of different places. We've had, what's his name? Our other guy. We've had a couple different...
Zach Tom?
No, not Zach Tom. I'm totally blanking, and I should know this guy's name. Elton Jenkins has played, like, every position on the offensive
center.
Line. I think he even played center for, like, a second or something like that. Yeah, so, I mean, I think versatility is something that Goot really values, and I think that's probably a lot of what went into this pick, is he could play tackle, he could play guard, he's just kind of, you know, Swiss Army knife type of thing, which seems to be working out fine for the offensive line. I mean, they weren't amazing last year, but they were in a decent spot, and this should help that. So it's, you know, people, oh, it's not a sexy pick, and like, yeah, and then there's the backlash. People go, actually, offensive line is a sexy pick. No, it's not. Come on. No, it's not. Like, it's cool, and like, I don't like want to shit on these guys, but it's not a super exciting.
It's a meat and potatoes pick.
Yeah.
But you need your meat and potatoes.
Exactly.
It fills you up, and it's a strong foundation and a good base.
Yeah.
You got to have
it. So the player isn't exactly who I had been told was kind of the best at that position on the board. It wasn't like a crazy reach, though. I mean, he was in that neighborhood, and they like this guy the best, and they like him the best. And so I'm interested to see how that goes, but I was pretty lukewarm on day one of the draft. I was kind of like, oh, okay, I guess the thing I wanted to happen didn't happen, which I should be really fucking used to by now, because it literally never happens.
Yeah.
Like, if you were to write the script for that night, at knowing what you know about, like, me, you'd be like, okay, so they're going to get there, and DeJean is going to be on the board, and they're not going to take him. Like, that was always what was going to happen. It was never going to be anything but that.
Yeah, as a fan of a rival of yours, I am happy you didn't take Cooper DeJean, because I do think just, I mean... I'm never going to be like, it's always the skill players, the skill position players are the ones that, they're the ones that kill you, you know, like they're the ones that you're like, fuck, like I, like, of course, like Cooper DeJean just
like the best offensive lineman in the world. It isn't like an annoying, like actively annoying presence to you.
I'm not disappointed or like upset that my team has to play Trent Williams. Like,
yeah,
he's a phenomenal player, but like there are ways around. Like, he doesn't roam the field, obviously. Yeah. So it's like,
he's not actively hurting you. He's preventing hurt on the other side of things. So, yeah, it is. I don't know. It is what it is. But then when we get into day two here, this is actually, you know, these two picks I thought were a lot more exciting in terms of kind of fueling that new look Packers defense that we've been promised under Jeff Hafley.
Mm-hmm.
The Packers, like I said, they got to, were they picking 41, I think, in the second?
35 or 45.
No, but they were picking 41. They traded back.
Oh, yeah, they traded back.
So
yeah.
I think at 40, the Eagles took DeJean. Maybe they were thinking he was going to make it there, and then they knew they were going to take him, so they traded back to 45.
Mm.
And they got linebacker out of Texas A&M, Edgerrin Cooper. And I thought this was a pretty good get for pick 45. He was projected to go ahead of this and kind of dropped, but he's a very athletic, kind of the RAS score, if you look at it. He's a 9.13, and he's kind of in that same, and I shudder to say this, Quay Walker mold, where he's just like this hyper-athletic freak, you know, like linebacker type guy.
How is he with medical staff members?
We don't know.
Oh,
we don't know, and I think they'll be vetting that and trying to kind of, they're going to give him like the inkblot test, but it's just medical personnel. He's like the enemy. But assuming that Quay continues to develop, which he has done, he was better last year than he was the year before, and hopefully he can stop attacking civilians. And if Edgerrin Cooper can kind of do that same thing, I mean, that's a pretty athletic, high-profile linebacker duo that I'm excited to see what they can do in the new defense, because they're switching back to a 4-3 from a 3-4. And so I think that was definitely high up on the list. You know, maybe you don't want to take a linebacker with your first overall pick, but it was needed, especially with the departure of Devondre Campbell this year. So it seems like that I haven't heard many people take any issue with that pick. I think everyone kind of agreed. You know, there were still the DeJean fans, those of us waiting out there, but
yeah,
wasn't an option. So without trading up. So that was a pretty fun one. And then at the back of the second here at pick 58, they took – Goot got so far. He got so many picks without taking a defender from Georgia. He really – he was like vibrating
not okay.
Yeah, like it was like his nose was bleeding and he was like shaking and he couldn't do it anymore. So he took Javon Pollard, safety out of Georgia. And I was a little surprised at this because I know that Bullard didn't test super well. I mean, he got the RAS of 8.25, so not bad, but didn't really jump off the page.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was the third safety taken at this point, something like that. I mean, he was top five, but safety is not like a very coveted position.
Y'all took three of them.
Yeah, no, we sure did.
A lot of safeties.
Yeah, so I'll get there. I'll get there. But this first safety. Yeah, I think he shows some potential. He is, again, one of those Georgia defenders that, and I have seen a lot of stuff about, you know, talking about like the Georgia, especially like the Georgia defense's playbook and how complicated it is and how I think that's something that Goot puts a lot of emphasis on, is kind of ability to transition into the NFL and ability to kind of digest complicated schemes like that. Not that our old defensive coordinator had complicated schemes, but if he had them, it would have been nice for guys to be able to parse that instead of just fucking soft zone all the time. Anyway, so I'm excited about that. I think to go along with our free agent acquisition, I think that's a decent amount of new blood for the secondary. The safety position was pretty decimated, but we'll get to the final pick, which was a cornerback, but we didn't pick up a lot in the way of corner, which kind of frightens me.
Yeah, you drafted one.
Yeah. So we'll save that for last, as Goot did.
Mm-hmm.
And then going down the list here, I think the last guy, I mean, you said that we drafted a handful more safeties. We got a bunch of them now. Maybe they want to convert some to corner. I don't know.
Typically, you don't see that conversion.
No, typically it doesn't go in that direction. Yeah. So maybe they're just really fast safeties. I don't know. But we also did draft running back Marshawn Lloyd in the third round, running back out of USC. I've heard that he's fun. I've heard that he's pretty explosive, good hands, kind of a threat out of the backfield. It's always hit or miss on a day two running back type of guy. Some of them turn out to be fucking awesome.
Yeah.
A la Aaron Jones. And some of them turn out to be nothing, really. And they don't really pan out into much of anything in the NFL. So I'm curious to see how that goes. I would expect that if he's even decent, he will probably supplant A.J. Dillon by the end of the year as the RB2.
No.
Yeah, he's on a one-year bag of chips deal, so I don't think he's long for this world. So, yeah, besides that, I mean, let's see. Let's scroll down here. We got linebacker out of Mizzou, which seems sure, whatever. safety, we have offensive line. We have another safety, so that brings our safeties up to three. Another offensive line. You can kind of see what the theme of the party was for Goot. Ooh, that last tackle is a RAS of 4.71.
That's not his type.
No.
What's that about?
No. Oh, we did draft the Tulane quarterback.
Yeah,
that's funny.
Michael Pratt, yeah.
By the way, do you know who Caleb Williams lost to last year?
Was it Michael Pratt?
It was Michael Pratt.
Oh, Jordan Love, watch out, man.
Watch out.
Watch out.
We drafted. No, here's what we'll do. Jordan Love will be the starter, and then just two games a year, we got to play Caleb Williams. Then Michael Pratt's going to come out. He's going to be the Caleb Williams killer.
Oh, dear God.
So, yeah, we had him in the seventh, and then the 255th pick in the seventh round, we drafted a corner out of, what, Penn State? Yeah.
Yeah.
Whose name is Kalen King.
Uh-oh.
And if those of you who are out there listening think that that sounds a little familiar, that the Packers drafted a corner, his name is Kay King. Yeah, you're not the only ones. I had a pretty severe bout of PTSD.
Oh boy.
When this happened. I had the 1,000-yard stare. I kind of just stopped doing what I was doing and just stood there for a while. I hope he's good.
Yeah.
But if he's not, at least he's not a first-round pick like the last Kay King we drafted.
Considering he was like, what do you say, 250?
255.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to make the team.
Like, yeah.
If he does, maybe he'll see my special teams once.
I would be just devastated if he didn't, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, just that was pretty funny. People were making a lot of jokes about that one, and rightfully so.
All right.
Well. Yeah. So, overall, not like an amazing, like crazy draft. I'd have a much different tone if we went the DeJean route, but I'm also an idiot. And Goot is smarter than I am about football. So
yeah, Edgerrin Cooper is probably the pick that I'd probably be the most excited about. Just because like the other ones they're not super sexy picks.
I think that Bullard could turn out to be something. Mm-hmm. Everybody else is kind of just a dart throw, it seems like.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. It was fine. Should we transition now to the Bears?
Yeah. Okay. So the Bears led off the draft.
And we should point out too. How do you say the Bears?
The Bears.
Okay. File that one away because we're gonna talk about the pick, and then we gotta talk about how that phrase is said by the pick.
Oh,
did you see this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did.
Okay,
I
know what you're talking about. Let's put that one on ice for a second. Yeah. So with the first overall pick.
Yeah. The Chicago Bears take Caleb Williams. Whoa, what a shock.
What a shock.
We're all so surprised.
The most awkward phone call.
That was, dude, vibes are bad.
Ryan Poles is just an awkward guy.
He goes, who is this? Like,
you called me.
He's like, who is this?
You know who it is.
Like, oh, it's just.
You are the outgoing call, Ryan.
It's so cringy. And like the thing is, Ryan Poles has a reputation of being a very like, you know, straight to the point, no nonsense kind of a guy, like a straight shooter.
He also has a reputation though of being like, mom said it's my turn to run the North. Like yeah. he's so.
Well, and then like you have Caleb Williams, who is a very eccentric personality, a very unique. Yeah. Like I'm a unicorn kind of a thing, and like
I think Ryan got up in his head because he was like, if this is what we think it is and what we hope it is, this is going to be like a phone call that like people watch, you know, like it's going to be part of history.
It was so bad,
and because of that, he got nervous and he just fucked it up.
Yeah,
yeah, but I don't know. It is what it is.
Yeah. So Caleb Williams goes, not. Surprised at all.
Nope.
I think that their second first round pick they had, that's the one that I think really hurts.
I didn't like that one.
They took Rome Odunze, receiver out of Washington at 9 because the board just fell that way. It just made it where it was you know, all lining up where we thought maybe the Chargers would take Malik Nabers and then the Giants would have to take Rome Odunze. But nope, they went offensive line. The Titans then also went offensive line.
Yeah.
The Falcons went quarterback, not the one you might think. And that left Rome just sitting there, and they walk away with Rome.
Yeah, I mean, that was a no-brainer pick for them because you look at the Bears right now. They have DJ Moore, who I don't remember how many more years are on his deal. It's a handful, like two or three.
At least two.
And then they have Keenan Allen, who is old.
Yeah.
And still good, but old and getting older every day.
Always like most of us. Yeah. You know, every now and then.
Yeah, so this is a plan for them to at some point, you know, I think they're planning for DJ Moore and Odunze, and then at some point it's going to be just Odunze. And it sucks because I like Rome Odunze. I think he's going to be good. But I also did think that about Kevin White. I have a bad history with first-round Kevins now that I'm thinking about it. I think I just overestimate all the Kevins.
Was Kevin King a first-rounder?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Oh, he definitely was.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
It's so bad.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. I was stoked when they drafted him. I was so happy.
Now you have a guy named Eric Stokes.
Yeah, I wasn't as stoked about that one.
He's also a first-rounder.
We have a lot of first-round DBs. It's weird that we don't have very many good ones.
Oh.
Yeah, so, I mean, that one was tough, but... The Bears kind of frightened me. They didn't beef up on defense in that first round, but their offense is high powered now.
Yeah, I mean, they
I
only
would
had
call
five
it.
Picks, so it's like they're not, one of those was a punter. They took the Iowa punter, which like he got a lot of reps, but like
he did get a lot of reps.
It's also
actually
a punter, like Torrey Taylor. He's a big boy, 6'4", 223.
Oh, he's one of the big punters.
Yeah, but like they took him in the fourth round.
Yeah,
which is bad.
That's fast.
I feel
that's
like
high.
I feel like you should never do that for a punter.
No, I feel like the worst punter is still
like
fine.
Kicker. You could actually like make some form of argument because like they score you points. A punter, you hope you never use
field
them.
Position.
You hope you never have to use your punter.
Field position.
And I think Caleb Williams already said like you're not gonna have to punt much to him.
Oh well, yeah. And the game's moving slow for Caleb. I mean, let's just let this Bears narrative play out.
Hey,
like
this
it
is the most
does.
Excited Bears fans have ever been since like 3 years
Shea
ago.
Shea Cutler. Oh, I was
and then like before that, like 3 years before that.
Yeah.
Like they have never been this excited.
This is the most excited they've been since Justin Fields, which is the most excited they've been since Trubisky.
Yeah.
Which is the most excited they've been since Jay?
Jay Cutler in the NFC Championship game, but then he got hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was on the bike for like the whole second half and just looked like he didn't want to be there.
They had a year of Alshon Jeffery in there.
Yeah. I mean, they had Alshon Jeffery and Brandon Marshall at the same time. That was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what I was
Matt Forte was a thing.
Yeah, what I was alluding to before, Caleb Williams did a press conference after the fact, and we talked about, you know, Caleb is the first Gen Z quarterback.
Yeah.
He's got some flamboyant mannerisms, let's call them.
Which nothing wrong with that.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. But then when he stood up,
the clips just go viral.
Yeah, he leaned on the microphone and he said the Bears, but he said the Bears and walked away.
Yeah.
Just like that. I feel like there's this whiplash. Like, the fans, they have to like him.
Yeah.
But, like, has there ever been a wider gulf between,
no,
between
like,
a fan base and a quarterback
and
in terms of, like,
that's where it's tough because, like, the Bears like to posture as this monsters of the Midway,
bear
country,
bear weather,
you know, bear weather and all that kind of stuff.
Bear down for midterms.
And then you have a guy like Caleb Williams, and it's like, it just doesn't fit.
And here's where that is, because people are going to go, oh, that doesn't matter, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
And to a certain extent, yeah, it doesn't matter.
Correct.
But it depends on how he plays.
Yeah.
Because if he starts to fuck up,
he's going to get clowned.
It's going to happen faster. There's going to be less grace for that because there's already things about him that you can start to nitpick.
Yeah.
And so if he's great, then he's great. And even if he's good, he'll probably get a lot of leash. But if he has a three interception game, if he starts fumbling, if the Bears go like 4-13 this year or something like that.
Yeah.
People are going to turn on him faster.
I was so Dustin's brother Jordan asked me
Jordan.
He asked me last weekend what my honest prediction that their record would be this year. Okay. And I'm like, what it could be? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, say you're probably right around 500. Like, you could probably get right around 500.
Yeah.
And he was appalled.
Like, that was the ceiling or that was just the prediction?
I was just saying, like, yeah. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if you guys were right around 500.
Okay.
And he was appalled.
So you didn't even say, like, that's your ceiling.
That I was
you
that
were just
low.
Like, that's the prediction.
Yeah, that's. Yeah. I'm just like, yeah, that wouldn't shock me. And he just couldn't believe that it was that low. I'm like, what are you going to say? 13 games? Like, fuck off.
He's,
like,
he's not a smart man.
Like, what are we talking about here? Yeah. Like, I don't think Caleb Williams will be bad, but will he... Does he have ungodly expectations? Yes. Like, but like he's in a situation, the Bears have literally never had a quarterback throw over 4,000 passing yards. That's never happened for them. And like
the bar is low.
The bar is very low.
The bar is low, but at the same time, the bar is very high. It's kind of like the organization is so bad that the bar is low, but they're so desperate for it that it's high.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think part of it too is that Caleb Williams is not, like, he's a great, great prospect. He's not a perfect prospect, and he is going to be thrown in immediately right away. And we've seen kind of both versions of that last year with C.J. Stroud and with Bryce Young.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Caleb might be better than both of them, but I think there is part of it where if you guys had to start J.J. McCarthy week one, no matter what, I don't think you'd feel as good about it.
Yeah.
And I don't think Bears fans are appreciating that they keep doing this with these quarterbacks, too. Like, Fields started week one after he got drafted, right? Didn't he?
Maybe, yeah.
I feel like he did.
No, I'm blanking. I don't know, maybe.
Either way, it was very, very soon. And I'm very curious to see how this goes. I think the Bears are going to be a very polarizing team for people as we approach the season. They might get that kind of Lions of last year darling status at some point with the majority of people, but
I just, at the end of the day, I don't think Eberflus is a good head coach. The jury's out on if Shane Waldron will be a good offensive coordinator for them. He's bounced around a little bit. He's spent the last handful of years with Seattle. Has Seattle's offense blown me away? No. In the last handful of years. But like,
make Geno Smith look decent.
Yeah, but like, that's just nowhere close to the same type of quarterback as Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
And like, will he be able to? I mean, like, how are you going to maximize Caleb Williams? And like, the jury's still out until we actually see it. So I think the Roma Dunze pick were like, I'm more upset. I mean, like, I'm upset by that just because I don't want them to walk away with both of them. I knew they were going to get with Caleb Williams, so I've already kind of made peace with that.
Yeah, I mean, that was known.
So, like, but I didn't, I was hoping, I was like, I hope they don't get Rome and they trade down or they just go, you know, whatever. But, like, I don't know. I think the Bears are going to be in a weird spot. The NFC North will be in a weird spot or a very interesting spot if these quarterbacks hit and, like, they're actually good. Like, that's...
If J.J. McCarthy doesn't hit, I think you guys are in trouble.
Well, yeah, but like for what? Were you reset after a couple of years? Like that's it.
You're gonna be in trouble for a couple. It's gonna be a long couple of years of this podcast, man. Oh, especially if you know the Bears actually get decent. Yeah. Dustin's gonna be rubbing it in your face whenever he shows up.
Oh yeah, all like five months. Games that he watches a year. Like yeah, he won't even know. Like they've added so many players, he probably couldn't even name like a handful.
Did you see JJ showing up to the facility?
Yeah,
and his suit was way too big.
It wasn't his suit was too big. It's just the way
it's
I think
like
it was.
Baggy.
It was just like anytime you wear sneakers with a suit, it always will look like a little kid.
Yeah, you look like a little kid at a wedding.
It
is
always
what
look
I
like
saw.
A little kid. Like that's the thing. When you wear a suit with just like white sneakers, you're gonna have some degree of looking like a little kid. And like he's also just like not necessarily a hat guy. That's fine. Not everyone's a hat. Like Kevin O'Connell.
He's got that
great hat guy.
He's got that TikTok hair.
But like, I don't see it. That's where it's like, that's your big gripe with him.
That's not
right.
A big gripe with him.
That is your big gripe.
No, my big gripe with him is that he's a bust.
Okay.
Yeah.
You've never been wrong in your proclamations.
No, not even
and
once.
They've never come back to bite you. Never.
Not yeah, a couple times, actually. Oh, yeah. Now that I think about it,
no.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
Almost 100% of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like 100% fade you. That's what people should do.
I think J.J. McCarthy's great, actually. I'm changing my tune.
Nope.
I think he's awesome.
You can't go back.
I'm going to cut that.
Nope.
I cut the show. You don't have any control over that.
I'm going to keep just throwing it in random spots.
I mean, our producer cuts the show.
Yeah, what?
Yeah.
Behind the curtain.
Not
here.
Me.
All right. before we end here, there was one surprise.
Yeah, we got to talk about the Falcons.
The Falcons had the 8th pick. Everyone was kind of thinking they go maybe another pass catcher, just go for a bloop to get the best defensive prospect, because everyone's thinking first 7 picks will surely be offense. Nope, they zagged. They went with quarterback. And
I feel like zag isn't a strong enough word.
They fucking zagged. Like,
they zagged harder than anyone's ever zagged.
They went with Michael Penix Jr., who, by the way, is 25 years old.
Yeah.
Or who will be 25 this season.
Before
the end of the season.
Okay.
I think it's like during the season he turns.
So he's 24 and a half right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
At least. And they just gave Kirk Cousins a 4-year deal, about $100 million guaranteed, worth up to
$180.
And Terry Fontenot, their GM,
what are you doing?
He said, we look at the model that like Green Bay has done, and we're trying to model after that. So we thought it was a great opportunity. And if the case comes up, like, if we don't have to play Michael Penix or like Michael for 4 or 5 years, or let him sit for 4 or 5 years, that means we're not having a quarterback problem. We're in a great spot with the position. So you want him to be a 28 or 29 year old player getting his first bit of action.
Yeah.
And here's a strong distinction. Green Bay took Jordan Love and Aaron Rodgers in like the mid 20s.
Well, and we took, you know, Jordan Love was a bit more like not well regarded in the pre-draft process.
He was
a guy
that needed some marinating.
But he was young.
Yeah.
And he was a lot younger than Michael Penix. And Rodgers falling to the Packers will always remain one of those, like, how did this happen things? Because Rodgers was, like, a highly touted. He got told he was going to get taken.
Yeah, he thought he was going to go one.
One overall, yeah. So it's like that. That is part of the equation that I think the Falcons kind of forgot about there, is that one was a super young draft and developed. The other one was like an act of God. Like, how did this guy fall this far?
Yeah.
And it's, I get what he's going for,
Michael, I would say, okay, do that, but then draft JJ McCarthy.
Yeah. Because
you at least have, he's 21 and he fits, he plays similar or a lot more similar to like a Kirk Cousins than Michael Penix does. Like, Michael Penix is a guy that he has to sit in the pocket and throw because he doesn't rely on his legs. And
Kirk is a guy. Is that what you said?
What?
You said Michael Penix is a guy that has to sit in the pocket.
Yeah, but I'm saying, I'm saying when Kirk came out, Kirk was a lot more mobile than, like, when he was playing with the Redskins when they were still named that. He was a lot more similar to what you see with like JJ McCarthy does. JJ has the better athletic intangibles, but I'm saying like it's a more similar fit.
The style is similar.
Than like Michael Penix does. Michael Penix doesn't create. He's a great processor like Kirk is now, but like he's a sit and throw. He doesn't buy time with his legs, create, maneuver. He's not an imaginative kind of a player, which yes, you can,
not creative.
You're mentioning more like that's, you could say, well, that's more like Kirk nowadays, but like Michael Penix is probably was the most like ready, like just insert him into a team and have him play right away than a lot of the other quarterbacks, like the Drake Mays, the Jordan, the JJ McCarthy's, like these guys are like, they'll probably benefit if they sit a little bit just because they have some things that they could probably work on, or they're young. And then you have Michael Penix, who is, he's not young, but you could probably throw him into like a Raiders right now, and he'll be the best quarterback that they have.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that the Falcons did it, when they're not going to take a guy, or they're not going to have a guy play unless Kirk gets seriously hurt again, which
it could happen.
But like, he's, last year was the first time it's ever happened to him, so he's one of the more durable guys other than his Achilles just going, which is one of those things that just happens.
Yeah,
and so I just. It's just so puzzling, and it's such like a thing where they could have traded down and still got Michael Penix.
I don't think they could have. I think that a couple, like the Broncos, Raiders,
they could have dropped a handful. I mean, like, I guess you're getting cute then at that point, but like,
yeah. But either way, the other side of this, and it was reported on, you know, after the fact, they called Kirk like 2 minutes before this pick and just told him it was happening, and he was
shocked.
He was shocked. He and it just kind of sours the mood, I'm sure, of him on the new team. And that's something that, You know, they say, oh, we're trying to, you know, maybe emulate what the Packers have done in the past. I don't know if the Falcons organization has kept up with football news for the last couple of decades, yeah. But when you do this, it tends to make the current guy pretty unhappy.
Mm.
It's two for two in doing that. It's happened 100% of the times the Packers have done it.
Yeah.
And it's going to do it to some degree here. Now, maybe Kirk isn't the ego trip that Aaron Rodgers or Brett Favre are. I don't think that's a crazy thing to assume.
Mm.
But I think he was excited. I think he was like happy to get a fresh start. He was getting a fucking bag. And he seemed to be making the most of it. You know, no regrets going down to Atlanta. And now it's like, oh, like you guys kind of want me.
Yeah.
You wanted me enough to pay me. But also you're already like, I haven't taken a snap for you guys, and you're prepping somebody else.
You're thinking about life after Kirk.
Yeah, like if Kirk goes out there and has a 3-interception game,
mm-hmm.
they put Penix in.
Yeah,
what if he plays well?
I don't know.
You're just getting into this weird territory where it's like, why you should be in win now.
Yeah.
You bought a quarterback this season. You have other pieces. You're in a weak ass division. Go.
Yeah. Why give an asset, a very valuable asset, to a resource that you're not even going to most likely utilize for a few years? And it's just so mind-boggling. And I just, even if you love the guy, it just contradicts everything you've done this offseason.
Yeah.
And that's where it's so mind-boggling. I don't know.
There's a lot of times in the offseason process and the NFL in general where we get, and it's most of this show, is we get to, you know, armchair GM.
Mm-hmm.
This is different because literally every single person, the most little you know about football, anyone who gets the situation explained to them, they all know that it was like a head scratcher. Like, why would you do that? And
fits weird. The value is a reach. Like, it's just mind-boggling on all fronts, and I don't know. I don't really know what the Falcons are doing, because then they reached on their second pick, taking Ruke Orihoro, defensive tackle out of Clemson, when Johnny Newton was just sitting on the board, taking the third pick in the second round, and where he was the 68th ranked and the 8th position ranked by ESPN.
Yeah, because we weren't watching day two together, but I texted you, and I was like what the fuck are they doing out here?
I don't know. And like the shot of Terry Fontenot, the GM, looking
talking to Arthur
and trying to like justify when they took him. Because Arthur's probably like, why'd we do that?
When Arthur Blank, like the 95-year-old, like if Jerry wasn't in the league, if Jerry Jones wasn't an owner, everyone would be like, wow, Arthur is like the oldest owner. Like he is super old, doesn't seem, you know, to have that much football IQ, and he knows that it was the wrong move.
Will Michael Penix end up being a bad NFL player? I don't think so, but like we're not gonna know for a couple years.
He's a Hall of Famer. He's just, you know, you gotta wait a while.
It's just so mind boggling to marinate. Me. I don't know, and is what it is. And that completely, because of that, it completely overshadowed the Broncos taking Bo Nix at 12, mm-hmm. and I, which by the way was another move that you had Sean Payton come after the fact, then spew this bullshit being like, oh yeah, I was actively trying to make it seem that we were trying to move up.
No, dude, he got you.
And take JJ McCarthy.
That's why
we got them to move up from 11 to 10. It's like, okay, let's walk through that logic.
Okay.
So you got an NFC team to give up assets to an AFC team that you're in a conference with.
Correct.
So they got better, theoretically. And by the way, these assets are day three assets.
Yeah.
Just so they could take a better quarterback prospect, while then you could just sit there and laugh and take and massively reach on a worse quarterback prospect at 12.
You sound mad.
Is that the logic?
It sounds like Sean Payton made you mad.
Is that the argument that Sean's trying to say that they did?
I think Sean Payton lives rent free in your head.
They pulled a fast one.
Yeah, you can't handle the art of the deal that he just did.
This coming on the heels of the revisionist history that he said, "Oh yeah, back when I was with the Saints in 2017, I was really, really beating my fists that I wanted Patrick Mahomes. We were going to take him at 12.
Well, Schefter went on like a tweet spree after the fact, trying to like do damage control on that.
Well, because he's like, I was the only one that wanted Patrick Mahomes. But then the Chiefs moved up and right in front of us took him. So we had to settle for Marshawn Lattimore.
Yeah.
And I'm like, God.
I went on the record on this show, and I think we had a show back then. So like, don't go listen to that. But just, I went on the record here right now. I was super high on Patrick Mahomes before the draft as well.
Yeah.
I thought he was the best quarterback out there.
We definitely didn't have a show back
then. No, you thought he sucked. I thought he was great. that's how I remember it happening.
You're Sean Paytoning this? I'm Sean Payton now, everyone.
I'm playing you like a fiddle.
Yeah. It's the LeBron James like meme where he's just like all these like revisionist stuff. He's like, oh yeah, I totally knew. I recognized it.
He's such a dick. He's like if Urban Meyer was like a little bit less of an asshole, but like not that much. No, very funny.
I don't know. And like, we were right with Bo Nix getting drafted by the Broncos. Like, yeah.
Even though we were laughing about it.
Because we're like, they're going to do it. Because like, they're going to do it 100%.
We had him getting drafted before Michael Penix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Damn.
So
yeah, I don't know. Broncos, you're Broncos fans, you're not having to worry about the heat because the Falcons did you a solid. So
it is nice that there's
your coach is trying.
Everybody agrees that the Falcons had the worst it's unanimous, which is nice that there's no debate about this team lost. This team, everyone's like, but the Falcons lost the most.
Yeah, I actually do think I think the NFC North teams did all of them. None of them had a bad draft. They addressed needs. It obviously will all depend on when you take a quarterback that has the most leverage on that, obviously. So like,
yeah, you guys have the most riding on it by far,
the Bears, they couldn't possibly not lose. Like, well, the expectation is the highest for them.
And the Bears got the 101, so if he's a flop, then it's really bad because they could have had anyone.
Exactly.
If JJ is a flop, you guys be like, well, he was the
JJ's not better than the four that were taken ahead of him, it's like, well, yeah, we didn't have a chance to do those. We tried to move up, but we couldn't get it, so we had to go with him. But
yeah, so Bears, you guys
get the most to lose.
Lions, Packers? I don't know who's more or less with the Lions and Packers.
Yeah. I think it was interesting. We saw a lot that the Lions really threw a lot of resources at corner and like DB because like they got shredded. Like, yeah, makes sense.
Yeah,
like,
it must be nice.
Yeah, I think getting Terry and Arnold was a big get for
them.
They
didn't get Kalen King, though.
No, they didn't. They did not get Kalen King. Yeah, they
took, wanted him, but they could not have him.
Three DBs out of their six picks. So, and then the other one was a defensive tackle, and they took an offensive tackle and an offensive guard. So,
yet to pay Jared Goff, but they were chanting his name.
Apparently, that deal might have fallen through. I guess the talks have really broken down.
Who's their back?
What's it? Hendon Hooker. Who's some Vikings fans, I'm sure they're still out there saying, we really wanted him. No.
Oh,
I wanted to draft him.
If Hendon Hooker is a quarterback for the Lions, that would be. That'd be delicious.
He's the oldest. Yeah, Jared Goff's the oldest quarterback. He's 29 in the NFC North.
Geriatric,
just crazy.
Yeah.
All right. I don't really have anything else. We'll be back probably in 2 weeks.
Do you think that it's gonna? Are you always gonna remember the really sad story about veterans with cancer that they read right before the JJ McCarthy pick?
Yeah.
Is that like
it's tough?
Like, not that it's not a worthwhile cause and story and stuff like that, but it's just very whiplashy to hear like a very sad story like that. And they go, all right, with the 10th pick.
Yeah.
And they just go right into it. There's not even a commercial break or nothing.
There's a little kid getting like lifted up to JJ McCarthy.
And it's like, oh man, like that really took me out of the spirit of the moment.
It's impossible for JJ McCarthy to be bad now. He's America. He did that. He's doing it for America now, that pick.
He cured
soldiers.
He cured that soldier's cancer.
No, he's doing it. He's playing for.
He's playing for cancer.
All the soldiers.
He's pro cancer.
No. He's pro soldier.
Is he
pro America?
Was he born in July? Is he a cancer?
No, he's born in January.
I don't know what that is. I don't know the signs enough. Right, I just know what I am.
I don't know. All right. Well, thanks for listening to our episode of Third and Forever. It's on my 10,000 takes. Go to the website at 10ktakesmn.com. Find them on Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram. Just search 10K Takes. You can also find us on Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram at @third_forever10K. We post links to episodes each week, as well as clips from the episode, highlights, reactions, memes, news for the Vikings, Packers, Bears, as well as the NFC North and the NFL in general. NFL draft is officially behind us. We are on to the dog days of the offseason. We're waiting now just for OTAs and training camp to start this summer. Free agency, there will be probably some cuts that happen right around that June 1st deadline. Look for extensions. I know we just picked up Christian Darrisaw's fifth-year option. I know the JJ talks are they reported out. Kevin Seifert from ESPN. Kevin Seifert from ESPN said it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when they announce. So I would not be shocked, and I'm sure we probably won't do a full episode when that news breaks. That's going to be in a week or so.
We've been talking about how that isn't done yet
because the report was they put it on pause for the draft because they wanted JJ to have his own time.
It always shows you're confident in a deal if you have to put it on pause for 2 months.
It's putting it on time so he doesn't have to they're going to dedicate that entire thing to JJ. Like, they're not going to be like, we don't want to get him overshadowed at all by the draft. Like, no. Like, that's how much of a franchise piece he is.
I think that's a heck of a spin zone.
It's not a spin zone. It's directly reported. But all right.
It's directly reported by Justin Jefferson?
By
Kwesi?
By Kevin Seifert, who is the ESPN
Never trusted
reporter.
Kevin.
Okay.
Kevin's in media talking about football?
Sure.
I don't know what they're talking about.
It's going to be so funny when this little bit of yours dies when they announce the thing. You're going to be just in shambles
I'm just going to come in that next day and I'm going to say he's only got 4 years left on his deal. You know, are you worried?
Well, it would technically be probably five.
Well, whatever. Whatever it ends up being, I'm just going to be like, well, you know what?
How come no one's talking about the whole CeeDee Lamb not signing a deal? Oh, yeah. No one is. Like, that's weird. Like,
he's waiting to see what JJ gets.
He's not going to get more.
Eh.
If he does, then I'm like, okay.
I mean, even if he doesn't get more, it's going to help him get more than he would have, probably.
I don't know. Brandon Ayuk is looking like he's still pissed off, so he's probably...
Yeah, he didn't get traded.
Debo might be gone. I don't know. The Niners are just, I don't know, weird spot.
If you live in a city with a major NFL football team, maybe just like be careful driving around. There's a lot of disgruntled receivers out there, and I fear for the public safety.
That's good. What a good Samaritan you are. As always, I've been your host, Adam Otis, joined by my co-host, Kevin Olm, and not producer, Justin Kevin, final words.
J.J. McCarthy, Hall of Fame.